When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome back to the Garibaldi Red podcast, a Nottingham Forest podcast. The sun is shining on a wonderful Friday morning, but after another madness week off the pitch, it seems like the sun isn't shining where you are, Dave, but it is in Manchester, trust me. Never a dull moment, hey, off the pitch for Forest, and we're here to talk about all things VAR. Gary Neville potentially not coming to the City Ground on Sunday, and the not-so-easy task of facing Manchester City on Sunday afternoon. Joining us on a nice and early morning is Dave Asprey and Steve Bennett. It's the first time we've all done a podcast together, so nice to see you both together. Dave, how are you? Have you calmed down after an interesting week? Or I suppose, should I ask, have you almost switched your phone off given the amount of statements and things this week from Forest?
I found some solace yesterday, Max. I found some escape. I spent most of yesterday in a cemetery, and it was blissful. There was no talk of VAR. There was no talk of corruption. There was no, I want all the decisions to go my way, because there was none of that. The dead were wonderful. Honestly, the dead of you talks to were wonderful. They sat there in blissful quiet, none of this nonsense going on. And it was good to get away from it, because it's been, for me personally, it's been a bit of an embarrassing, uncomfortable week to be a Forest fan. Not a good look on our club, I don't think.
Steve, you agree there. It has just been, it never is a dull day, is it, being a Forest fan? There's never a quiet day.
No, and it's my overriding emotion, Max, is I think it's all a bit sad. I think that if you go back a couple of years, and I'm not specifically looking at the sort of Steve Cooper bit, but if you go back a couple of years, or even a year, actually, think how excited we all were about the last three or four games of the season. Were we going to stay up? And I think at that stage, everybody would have been behind us to stay up, willing and wanting Nottingham Forest to stay in the Premier League. True. What I'm going to say now is based purely on instinct. It's not based on any facts. My guess is that that's probably not the case now. There's probably lots of people who go, no, what a bunch of whingers. There's this and that and the other. Some of it's very, very justified. Let's be clear about that. But it's about how you do that. And therefore, there are probably lots of people go, well, if Forest go down now, then actually, so what? And that means that either Luton or Burnley are going to stay up. And I do think it's one from three, isn't it? Because let's make the assumption that Sheffield United are probably not going to escape, although they might still beat us a week on Saturday. If Burnley win, they'll be on 26 points, so they'll be level with us on points. If Luton win over the weekend or even get a point, then they'll be level on points with us. I know there's goal difference and that sort of thing. So my overriding emotion for the week is just really one of sadness and disappointment and almost, maybe I'm preempting it, but almost a bit of resignation, but it's still early in the morning.
Yeah. What a thought for a Friday morning. I think it's an interesting point, though, that Stephen, you were there at Everton. I think in the away end at the end, not everyone was talking about the decisions and the tweet that the club had put out. I think everyone was almost, you talk about that fact of that feeling of resignation. I think Forest fans are starting to get a little bit like that, which isn't a nice feeling to have in any football club. And I just feel like the more and more this goes on, the more it's not only a distraction, but also just on the pitch, Forest, haven't been good enough and have not took chances. As you say, Steve, control the controllables. Dave, can you see almost the anger and the frustration justified at all, given that Forest, no one's saying that Forest haven't been hard done by this season. So many decisions have gone against us. And you look at a team like Wolves actually this week, who a lot of Wolves fans came out on social media and actually said, you know what, Forest fans, we agree with you. And, you know, we're not going to have a go at you for whinging now. But do you just, you still think this isn't a completely and almost over the top reaction from the club this week?
I can see where, if you, by the mere act of totting up the incidences of it, Max, you can see why people can perceive that there's something going on, but a perception does not, you know, indicate a reality. I mean, maybe I'm old school, I don't know, and I'll probably get hammered for this, but I've always believed in, you know, accepting referees' decisions. I played league football until I was 43, and, you know, and I, if a referee gave it, he gave it. It's like turning over the chance card in Monopoly. You play what you're given. And my view is that what I hate the most, what I find the most ludicrous, is a sore loser. And coming out of Goodison, I was already angry coming out of Goodison because I thought Nottingham Forest played like a team that didn't think it was in a relegation battle. It played like a team on the beach. They were awful. My view was, okay, the first one I didn't think was a penalty. The second one I'd seen them given. The third one I thought was a penalty and a clear and obvious error by Anthony Taylor because he signalled that the ball had been won by Ashley and it hadn't. He just cleared out Callum from behind, right? But my view was, the better you are, the luckier you get. And I thought Forest didn't deserve it because they didn't show the right attitude. There was a lot of aimless passing in midfield. Nobody. I looked at it and I thought, if somebody said to me, the two teams at Goodison, right, which one of these is more angry about perceived injustices? I'd have said, well, Everton, they look really desperate and hungry and angry, you know, and all this kind of. And Forest played like you'd expect Fulham to play, or Wolves, or Bournemouth. Somebody on the beach near Brighton. Somebody got nothing to worry about. And I thought it was a betrayal. I found it. And yet again, it was another of these days where we go away and we build up this hope and we kind of imagine Forest beating Everton. Like somehow we managed to try to imagine beating Manchester City on Sunday. And then we have all this kind of hope and imagination. And then a cold, hard dose of reality hits us and we go, oh, we're back to where we were again and Forest just aren't good enough. I mean, you know, when the tweet, when it came out, I thought was just so infantile and it was like a toddler's reaction. It was like a toddler throwing a paddy because he couldn't get, a Farley's Rusk or something. And it, you know, to say we are considering our options. I mean, what options? What, we all go back to Goodison and play the game until Forest get all the decisions in their favour? No. I thought to myself, why don't we play all the games where Forest have criminally thrown away points from winning positions and play them again? You know, or why don't we play all the games and see if Forest can defend a set piece for once? It's been the most uncomfortable week. You know, I've had to kind of sit by while my club really has been really classless. You know, not all the time. I mean, the tweet on Sunday was ill-considered and juvenile. The statements on the Monday and the Tuesday, which provoke a conversation about VAR, I thought were more considered. I looked at them and I thought, at last, an adult has gone in there and decided to put their stamp on it. But the fact of the matter is, we're fourth from bottom. It is now, you know, like Steve says, it's which one, you know, which two of three go down with Blades, who are probably likely to get beat at Newcastle tomorrow, you know. And Forest have really only got themselves to blame. We won't go down because of VAR and referees. Yeah. We'll go down because I think essentially, I've watched a lot of Championship football recently, which actually is quite good because there's no VAR. And there's been no massive controversies come out of that division this year, which kind of tells you, I actually think VAR, we need to get rid of it. I think it ruins the experience, more for the fan than anybody else. But Forest are where they are. I think I've watched Watford, West Bromwich Albion, Hull, Coventry, Cardiff, Sunderland, Swansea. And if Forest were going for promotion at the moment or were in the playoffs, I wouldn't say they were any better than, you know, Leeds, Leicester, Ipswich, Southampton. So, you know, and I've always felt we've never really truly, you know, we little pockets here and there where we've looked like a true Premier League side, Fulham at home, Manchester United at home, Newcastle away for half the game, but there hasn't been enough of it. And I think at the moment, I mean, I look at the games coming at Sunday, I've written off. I mean, the evidence of last night, contrasting with the evidence of last Sunday, says it's going to need a miracle. It's going to need something jaw-dropping. I don't see it happening. If Blades are already down, they don't like us. They'll try to drag us down with them.
Yeah.
Chelsea, I actually think Chelsea's the most winnable, but if Cole Palmer turns up, we're in deep doo-doo. And heaven help us if we have to go to Burnley on the last day and it's a kind of a winner-takes-all game, you know, against a team that have actually, they've played some really good football recently. That, you know, I totally go back to Steve's point that we, in the last 12 months, we've surrendered the moral high ground with some of our conduct. We are not a likeable club. We're not a charming club. You know, like Steve's absolutely right. This time last year, people were rooted for Nottingham Forest. Good old Nottingham Forest, historic, traditional Nottingham Forest. Now, I think most people on the most base level are thinking, oh, those whingers, let's hope they go down. And I think we've driven the neutrals away. And I think we're a bit of a sorry disarray at the moment. I mean, you know, I don't think any of the facets of the club come in. Price rises, a manager who doesn't seem to care and who we have no rapport with. The players just don't have any courage. You know, I watched them last week. They kind of faint to do something, take a man on, beat a man, and then it's, better play a ball back and sideways. And I just think we are just boring, really, Max, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. It's so disappointing to say.
I'm so glad I came on this call.
Yeah, I know.
Are you coming up the cemetery with me later, Steve?
Some joyous thoughts on a Friday morning. I think the thing is, I'm just going to kind of throw this point, and Steve, you can kind of pick up off the back of it. It seems like it's a mixture of things for Forest. You know, VAR does contribute. I think, you know, yes, you can talk about the performance not being good enough. Yes, you can talk about controlling controllables. But when there's, you know, decisions that do go against you, and so many this season, I think 18 I've counted. I should probably get out more. 18 that have impacted the Forest players in some way. However, I also completely see the flip side, as you're saying, Dave. Performance wasn't good enough on Sunday. Everton, no disrespect to them, weren't amazing. Forest could have easily scored at least one goal against them. We had chances. You know, that Chris Wood one stands out. And if he scores that, it's a different game. Momentum changes. I just don't think we were kind of good enough. So, Steve, when you look at actually Forest in these last four games, and obviously you start again with City on Sunday, what do the team and also the fans maybe need to do to almost forget the VAR, forget the refereeing, and just focus on the pitch? Is it simply a case of using it almost as a siege mentality, almost everyone's against us kind of attitude?
I think it's really difficult, Max. I think for me it comes down to one word, and that's leadership. I don't think the leadership of the club has covered itself in glory, particularly this year.
True.
And particularly True. Recently. I don't think the team, both on the pitch and off the pitch, has a leader.
True.
So somebody's going to grab it by the scruff of the neck. I mean, I was in a part of the ground at Goodison where I could see, you know, the difference in the manager performance. And Nuno had great success at Wolves. It didn't work for him at Spurs. It didn't work for him necessarily in the Middle East after that first season. In the 93rd minute, I think it was, Nuno was standing on the side of the pitch, arms crossed, as I am now, not moving. Sean Dyche, to the contrary, was being Sean Dyche, was cajoling all his players, was communicating with all his players.
Yeah.
About 5-6 minutes before that, Murillo came over to the side of the pitch to get a drink. Nuno didn't speak to him. Anytime an Everton player came over to the side of the pitch, Sean Dyche spoke to him. Now, they're very different managers, very different leadership styles. But if you compare that with what we had before, and goodness me, weren't we lucky and fortunate with what we had before with Steve Cooper? Yeah. And did we actually realise just how good it was? But in the end, that relationship, as everybody knows, broke down between Steve Cooper and the club, Steve Cooper and the ownership of the club. and therefore that was always going to end, unfortunately. What we had as fans was an incredible rapport with Steve Cooper and vice versa. He created that. He's the first manager in our time, and I'm looking at Dave and I's time, since probably Brian Clough. And I'm not harking back to the past, but he's the first manager to really make it a joy to be at the City Ground. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been a joy to be at the City Ground this season. The expectations have been much higher. We survived in the first season, therefore the second season is going to be better and easier. It isn't. Everybody knows, if you've ever studied football, that the second season is always harder. So for me, it comes down to leadership, and Dave touched on it. The complete lack of leadership over the announcement over the season card renewals.
Yeah.
And having to read a 6-page black and white document that deals with the small print, that tells you that if you're about to become a concession at 65, oh, you're not anymore, you have to be 66. It tells you about the age categories. It tells you about how you can no longer in the future pass on season cards and all that sort of stuff. And the absolutely crass emails about, well, we've got, 50% have renewed more than last year. Well, what does that mean? 3 versus 2? And we've got 10,000 people on the waiting list. And then what was it? At 20 to midnight, we've got 11,000 people on the waiting list. Where's the leadership of the club that is actually saying, as it has for a number of years, we recognise that things are not easy out there in society and in the community. We recognise that perhaps we need to keep the fans on board in order that they support the team, in order that the team supports the club. that just hasn't happened. So that's why we find ourselves fourth bottom of the Premier League. There's only four teams who stand a chance of getting relegated. We're one of them. I mean, I think Everton are safe now.
Yeah.
And I think it's our own doing. I really do. And I don't think, we've had bad decisions. And yes, you can blame VAR. But here's a piece of information for all the listeners. VAR is put in not by the Premier League. The Premier League have to interpret the rules of the game, and they have to interpret VAR. But the rules of the game worldwide are put together and imposed by an organisation called IFAB. IFAB consists of 8 members. England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and 4 seats from FIFA. If you want to change any rules in the football community anywhere in the world, you have to have a majority of 6 out of the 8. So work out from that who's really controlling football all over the world. The clear and obvious definition by IFAB is that if 8 out of 10 people think it should go the other way, then it's worth taking a look at. These things are not set by the Premier League. The Premier League are there to control the game, but they have to control the game within the rules that IFAB set. So Premier League have had to put in VAR because IFAB have said they need to put in VAR. They're not in control of VAR.
No.
Okay, there's a complete lack of consistency with VAR.
Yeah.
And that's a major talking point, and that's caused us problems. But at the end of the day, we had decisions go badly for us last year. Last year, we weren't moaning about VAR. We weren't arguing with each other about season car prices. We weren't arguing about this player and that player. Everybody was behind the team.
Yeah.
But that hasn't happened now. Can the fans in the next 4 games, get behind the team? That's the acid test. Do we as fans want the club to remain in the Premier League? Or actually, do we fancy Barnsley and Blackburn on a cold Tuesday night? Well, exactly. I'd much rather stay up and have a few more years in the Premier League and get consolidated and become a Brentford or a Brighton. Can you imagine a few years ago being ambitious about becoming Brentford or Brighton? But that's where we are. So I think the opportunity for the fans over the next four games is to give absolutely unequivocal support, not moan about decisions, not put blame it all on VAR, not blame it all on the refs. The players will do their best. Whether that's good enough in four games' time, we'll find out.
Yep.
I bet you're going to ask.
A bit like Stadler and Waldorf, me and you, Steve, aren't we? Honestly, great show tonight.
It's finished the podcast. You've covered everything, Steve. Dave, let's forget VAR. Try to and turn our attention to the small matter of Man City on Sunday. You know, you say that you kind of don't expect Forest to get anything. I don't think anyone does,
no.
But
no.
Managed to get a draw against them last season. Kind of against all the odds. Can we do it on Sunday? Would it be the most Forest thing to do after this week to go and beat Man City? I'm not saying it's realistically going to happen, but you just know it's a Forest thing to do.
No, it's not going to happen, mate. There are very few certainties in life other than death and taxes. But no, if you have to compare and contrast what you have seen in the last week and what you've seen over a fairly extended period of time from both teams. You know, I mean, it's just impossible to see. And last year it was possible to see. Everything that Steve has just said, I wholeheartedly concur with. Last year we had a vibe about us that was likeable. We seemed like a club that had empathy for its players, for its supporters, you know, as Steve's touched on. I think all of these things go to make a psychological armory that you take into a football match, right? I don't think we have that this year. I mean, you know, the lack of empathy that we've got at the moment, it's almost, I felt when I'm sorry to harp back to it, when I really should be talking about Man City, but I think we will lose to Manchester City, so don't really need to go further with that. But, you know, when my season card went up, I kind of thought, do they see me as a sheep to be sheared? Is that what they see me as? Because I'm not a billionaire, does that mean I'm a lesser human being? I don't know. It just struck me. I thought of all those Forest supporters. I'm in a relatively fortunate position in my life. I mean, actually, my season card was paid for by the estate of my recently deceased mum. So my little Greta, who I lost 3 months ago, she paid for my season card. Now, if mum had still been with us, I probably wouldn't have been able to afford it. And the other love of my life after my family, not in Forest, I'd put them to one side. You know, so I just think there's so little goodwill around us and within us at the moment. And the leadership issue is key to me. I mean, you could see it last year. I mean, at the moment, when I look at that group, I want Chris Wood to kind of take leadership. But I think in an average season, Woody has been a bit of a shining light. He's won us all over. He's shown immense character. This time last year, we were talking about Chris Wood as we currently talk about Ibrahim Sangare. You know, he had one bad game, so therefore he's a bad person and he's not worth bothering with. We all thought it about Chris Wood. I thought Woody had gone over the hill. Chris has been fantastic this year. To score the goals he scored in a team that is as limited as ours is great. And I think he's a good character. So I'd like Woody to kind of do something. Morgan, I look at Morgan, whatever you say about Morgan, Morgan tries his nuts off every week. Some weeks, like last Sunday, the harder Morgan tried, the worse he got. But I look at Morgan, and if I was to sit down and talk to him and say, what's key in your mind, Morgan? He'd say, this club paid a lot of money for me to be the X-Factor man, and I've got to try and be the X-Factor man.
Yeah.
Now Morgan tries hard. Yatesy comes on. Yates is Mr. Forest. But the poor lad suffers because he's not the kind of glamour FIFA 24 player that all the guys who play football with their thumbs want him to be, right? They just want glamour flash players all the time. But I just think, we miss Worrell's character, I think. And I think we miss, you know, we just don't have a talisman. We don't have a social talisman within the team. And we don't have a player. Morgan's as near as you'll get. But, I mean, you know, Nico maybe. I mean, Nico's going to get hammered for what he said, you know. And that's a bit, you know, don't you join in, Nico, and all this business. So, Sunday, I am girding my loins, whatever other medieval phrase I can think of, to get ready for an utter striping. I watched Foden last night. The gulfing class between Philip Foden and every single member of the Nottingham Forest squad is colossal. How many Forest players would get in a combined 11? None. We couldn't beat them with 10 when we dominated the game up there. It will not happen, I'm afraid. And you'll get all this stuff. It's this business. We'll beat them. We'll beat them. You know, you talk to people before matches around the city going, oh, we'll beat these today. And then we come out and invariably we haven't. So it's not happening on Sunday.
The irony, Dave, is we've got a better squad of players now than we had a year ago.
You would think so. Steve, yeah. You would think so.
No,
yes.
As individuals, unquestionably. Yeah. What we don't have probably is the connection with them.
Yeah.
Because a year ago, yeah, there was Worrall, there was Yatesy, there was Brendan Johnson.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's only now Yatesy, and he doesn't seem to be a fixture in the side, which I understand, you know, because we've brought in perhaps technically better players. But look at the finances. You're never going to be able to compete with Man City. Putting all the, you know, all the Middle Eastern money to one side, Man City have been in the Premier League now, and they're a well-established, clearly, a very, very well-established club and team. But think of, let's talk a moment about PSR. The rules that have now been delayed by 12 months, suggesting that clubs can spend, if they're in Europe, 70% of their annual income on players' wages. If they're not in Europe, 85%. So if you're Man City with a 550 million turnover, and you're allowed to spend 70% of that, that's what, 350, 380 million on players' wages. Mm. Forest turnover is 155. So you can spend 85% of that. So that's what, 130. You can't compete. There's no way that you can compete.
No.
I'll bring this into it. We, as both of you know, I rejoined the Trust and the Trust board in January. I've got some time to do it. I'm passionate about the club and I want to do anything I can to help fans and help, most importantly, Trust members, because that's who the Trust actually represents initially. But there's the wider audience, of course, that we completely respect. Some people may be aware, it has been publicised, that because we have on the board a financial expert who you had on your podcast a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
Matt. We have been able, as the Trust, to put in some documentation into the hearing that was held yesterday to try and make them aware of what we feel is some evidence where perhaps we've been treated, not treated harshly, but the rules have not been applied correctly. I don't want to get into that VAR stuff again. As the Trust, we've been and are in pretty serious dialogue with the club about season car prices. I don't know how much yours went up, Dave.
110, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, ridiculously, where I am in the Upper Bridgeford, my season car's going to go up by 15 quid. I mean, that's just bizarre. But the people you feel really sorry for are those who, what's the calculation, were 16 a couple of years ago and are now... And their season cards. This may apply to you, Max. I don't know.
It does.
You know, those season cards are going from 190, and if you're in the most expensive area, to 850 quid. That's at a time when the club need the most vibrant, the noisiest, the most passionate fans, which is that group of fans. So again, I come back to leadership. Who on earth has put that plan together at a time when we need every fan we get? We don't want people like you who are passionate about the club, and there are thousands of you, thankfully, within the ground who go to the away games, go and have a few beers, but are the most vocal, are the most passionate about the club. And they're going, hang on a minute, the club's just asked me to pay this?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so misguided, it's untrue. So we're trying to have a conversation as a Trust with the club about that and try and get some changes. That's being done through the FAB, which is the formal channel. And we've adopted a stance of let's try and sit down and talk. There was temptations to do some, you know, if the fab isn't working, what's the point? But actually the best way is to try and get around the table and talk about it. A bit like, you know, a bit like last Sunday's tweet. Last Sunday's tweet in itself isn't going to achieve anything. It exposes the situation, and maybe that's positive. But at the end of the day, you've got to sit down with the PGMOL and with Howard Webb and go, can we just go through what is happening, the evidence of what is happening? And how can it be considered in the future? Because as a club, you know, in terms of prices, all we've done is announce season card renewals. People are forgetting there hasn't been an announcement yet about when you've not renewed and therefore your season card is available for the 11,000 people on the list. How much are they going to have to pay?
Yeah.
It'll be higher than the renewal. Yeah. If you're one of those people who can't get a season card and you've had a home membership or an away membership, what are they going to come in at? What are ticket prices going to go to? So there's a huge disconnect at the moment between the fans, who are the ones who fill the stadium, support the team, make the noise. Goodness me, what irony in that video a couple of weeks ago. Bring the noise. Bring the noise at a time when you're doing everything you can to discourage the fans from actually being passionate and involved in the club and in the game.
Yeah.
And all that needs lots of conversation, needs lots of discussion, needs lots of people sitting down and going, okay, how actually do we repair this, perhaps for next season, irrespective of which league we're in? So you then come to Man City on Sunday, which is on the back of all of that. You know, thoughts have decided, and I don't disagree with the decision to pull all the, you know, the flags and all the TIFO and all that sort of thing. I mean, Forza have done a fantastic job to encourage the atmosphere in the ground. I don't agree with not singing Mull of Kintyre that some people have proposed on Twitter, because that's us, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
That sort of gets us started, even if it doesn't get everything else started. Yeah. But at the moment, as we said right at the beginning of this chat, there's not a lot to like about Nottingham Forest, whether you're inside the club, as we are, or you're outside the club, as fans of other clubs are. It's really sad. Do I see something about the three against Man City? Not really, but I'm mad enough to think we might get something. And then we've got the other three games, which they're all a bit of a lottery, aren't they? I agree with Dave. I think we've got most chance of ridiculously beating Chelsea because their season will be over by then. Sheffield United hate us, so they're not going to want to give us anything. And then last day of the season away at Burnley, we're both on 26 points. Can you imagine?
Flip. Yeah. I think that does us nicely. I will address this comment.
I hope the rest of your day gets better, Max.
Someone's just commented actually saying this is the most depressing Football and Forest podcast I've ever listened to. Do you know what? I wouldn't say depressing or negative. I'd say realistic Forest podcast. I think we're in a really difficult time on and off the pitch. So for fans to say that we're being too negative, I think we're being realistic that the club could simply be relegated in less than four games' time.
Yeah, I mean, Max, I'll be there on Sunday. I'll be at Sheffield United. I'll be at home on Chelsea, and I'll be away at Burnley.
Yeah, me too. And what we mustn't do, the worst thing would be to be deluded about where we are, to live in a fantasy world about what's going on. I mean, you know, you can kid yourself for, you know, only for so long. And yeah, maybe it is depressing, but occasionally you have to wake up and smell the coffee. And if Forrest had been good enough, we wouldn't have to have this kind of conversation. It's down to them. I mean, you know.
And Morgan will do something spectacular on Sunday and hit one in the top corner from 35 yards. And we'll eat our words. And we go, yeah, of course we'll stay up.
I think what we'll do, Matt Sells will roll it out to Murillo, and then we'll continue to put 19 passes together. 11, all 11 will have a touch. And then Kevin De Bruyne will be taken off by Pep, who's just had a yellow card. And as Kevin De Bruyne leaves the field, he'll be referred to as an excremental Jack Colback. Do you know what I mean? Like he was last year. So, I mean, the thing is, you know, the way I look at it, I mean, my first thought when the tweet came out was, what would the Forest fans say if this was Derby County putting this tweet out? Right. We're all solidly behind our Derby County brethren and sistren. No, they'd have said, grow up, Derby, and accept the decisions. But when it's us, right. I mean, you know, so 4 points given away against Luton, 4 points given away against Crystal Palace, a 2-0 lead surrendered at Old Trafford, you know, points given away against Burnley. You know, every time we have a corner or a free kick against us, these, to me, they're more criminal than any idea of corruption and all that. And
I'm waiting for Murillo to put one in from...
Yeah.
About 60 yards. When it happens, it will be absolutely bloody glorious.
Yeah. And you know what, mate? Actually, I'm glad you mentioned him, because while it hasn't been great, there have been some good, and he's been a fun player to watch, and he seems a good kid. And this idea that he wants to, I mean, he tried it at Luton, he tried it at Tottenham, and he will do it. And we'll all regard it in the years to come in our dotage. Well, I'm already in my dotage, but do you remember when Murillo scored that goal? It's just like when Dez scored against Luton Town that day back in, you know, back in the 90s. Like. So now it's love the club. Obviously, Forest till I die.
Dave, I think we better stop, mate. I think I've never seen Max look so depressed. Look so uncheerful.
No, I'm always positive.
It's part of his education, Steve. We're like wise old men of the tribe, showing him what life's all about, mate.
Come on, you Reds.
I'm being positive.
You Reds.
And as the host of this podcast, I should always try and end it on a positive. So I will. We're going to get something against City. I have a feeling people will call me delusional, but I have a feeling. There we go. I will eat my words if I'm doing a podcast when we've lost 7-0 on Monday morning. So there you go. But fingers crossed. Yes, right. We'll keep you up to date with everything the next few days and the next few weeks. Do like, share and subscribe on YouTube. Leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Dave, Steve, thank you. As always, go and do something to make yourself happy. Yes, be happy. Come on. Right.
Cemetery, mate.
Yeah, exactly. The week can't get much worse, or next week will be quieter. Oh, wait, it's points deduction appeal week as well. So we'll keep you updated for that.
Probably going to get something back, and that might make the difference, you know.
Exactly, Steve.
And if it does, fantastic.
Yeah, spot on. Right, we'll see you later. Have a great rest of your Friday. Come on, you Reds, for Sunday, and enjoy your weekend. Be positive.